Hello, this is your host, Dr. Casey Bradley, and you're listening to the Real P3 Podcast, a podcast dedicated to the pork professionals around the world, and it's brought to you by the Sun Swine Group and Swine Nutrition Management. As follow-up to our last episode from the Sun Swine Group discussing data analytics and how they work with customers to build integrated systems and customized visualizations to drive business intelligence decisions, now you get to hear from one of their customers, and that was the Hanauer System with Dr. Jimena Portal. Well, welcome back to the Real P3, Jimena. It's a pleasure to have you on here.
Thank you for having me again. Always a pleasure to talk with you.
Just in case they haven't listened to your past episodes, would you kind of review your background and what you do for Hanauer with the audience?
Yes. So I started with Hanauer maybe 6 years ago, first as their research analyst. And then I pursued my PhD in animal science with a focus on nutrition. So I was doing more sow research and then rejoined the company last year. Actually, it's going to be a year since I took the role of their senior business data analyst. And basically, that's what I do. I gather all data from the company and make it usable for us and across the company, whether it be financial analytics, research, or just operational and production analytics.
Well, that's awesome, because that's exactly kind of what I wanted to talk to you about today. And we've had the opportunity to work together, I think, for over 2, maybe 3 years now.
Yes.
So it's been really exciting to learn from you and learning from Hanauer. And I think, as I've always said about the Hanauer System, is you've got kind of been the first to try new things and be innovative and look into that. Kind of walk us through what you've built from a data platform standpoint that your team utilizes on a regular basis in production.
So I think first we would need to start with how we started gathering data, right? So there's many different ways or data sources that provide data. And so what we did was first centralize the data that we're going to use in one place. That for us currently is AWS. So we have, whether we have different data in our own servers or Azure, which is another cloud, we make sure that most of our data that's going to be used for business analytics is in AWS. And then that's where we consume our data from. From that, we build the dashboards. So basically, that's what I do. I build dashboards for the company and then embed those into a portal. That's where people go to access those dashboards. And so from there, I start assigning them to different people. So upper management is going to have access to all dashboards. But then someone at the farm level is going to have access to operational data. And so basically, that's what I do. I make sure we have data in the cloud, then make visualizations with it, then put that into a portal, and then share that with the people at Hanauer.
Now, you make that sound so easy, but it wasn't easy to build. And kind of walk you through some of the struggles from our product, more at the farm level, right? Obviously, the executives love to have that data to make decisions on. But how did you work through and how did you have to build it or change it for the farm and make it relevant for them and them wanting to use it?
Believe it or not, I think every area has its difficulties. So at the farm level, you have people from different backgrounds. Even some of them maybe haven't used, you know, a computer in a long time, or that's not something they do very often. But also at the upper management level, that's not something they're used to work with dashboards. You know, I think that's been something that's been trending in the last 5 years. I would say it became a thing to have dashboards, but not everyone's familiar with the interaction with dashboards or visualizations. And so each group has had its own challenges. But at the farm level, I think the key factor that drove success was just working with them. I think since I speak Spanish, it's very easy for me to communicate with them and train them. And so I always tell them I'm doing this work for them. And so I want them to be able to utilize it. Do not be afraid, you know, click everywhere and anywhere. And if there's something that's not working, let me know. They have access to my phone, my emails. They can just let me know if something's not working. And I try to be as friendly and open with them as I can. And sometimes if it's needed, I'll just, you know, give them 15 minutes of my time and do individual trainings if it's needed. And just, you know, work with them and tailor the visualizations to something that they need rather than something that I think they need. And if there is a KPI that they need, I will make sure I explain why I think they need it in that visualization and how they can make use of it. But usually they know what they're tracking. They may not call it a KPI, but they know what they're tracking and they know what drives their numbers.
Yeah, and I find it interesting as we've kind of, I say partner with Hanover, I've partnered with Hanover to learn, right? That's what I love about my job is I get to learn just as much as I hopefully teach others. But everybody wants this PigChamp report, or let's say we want this MetaFarms report, and we want to see the data this way. And kind of why did Hanover decide that those generalized reports weren't enough to take your business kind of to the next level?
I think we still keep those, right? Maybe because people are used to see them, or they want something specific, or they are looking at something a certain way. And PigChamp reports or any other type of report that you get from a provider, that's what they do. They're going to give you reports tailored to the way they think is best. Whereas when we tailor our reports, we get to combine different data sources. So if I have financial data from the bank, and then I have production data from PigChamp, then on my end, I get to do all the coding and I get to make a visualization that brings those two variables together. So rather than having to go through five different things, I get everything in just one place. And that's the beauty of being able to tailor your own dashboards so that you create different visualizations for different users. And so you get to that point by integrating different databases. And I think that's where it becomes challenging. Data integration, I would say, is being probably the most challenging for me because you have to work with the provider. So I have to work with PigChamp to help me create a table or a view for me to be able to use it. And so that was the part that was challenging at the beginning. And now it's more, I would say, getting people to use the dashboard. So this last year, that was my main focus, creating dashboards that people were using rather than creating dashboards that I thought were cool dashboards.
Let's take a quick break and hear from our founding partners, Swine Nutrition Management. Swine Nutrition Management is a consultancy service in South Africa, whereas Pig Nutritionists have a vision to provide customers with practical, up-to-date, and accurate nutritional information, which will add value to their farming enterprises by moving closer to unlocking the genetic potential of their animals. They develop tailored, cost-effective feeding programs for customers. Their approach is not to develop least cost, but rather best cost feed programs. By reviewing the entire cost structure of the farm, this includes a deep understanding of the production equation, which is driven by throughput, productivity, and feed efficiency. Now back to our episode. What we think is cool and what's usable, I've also learned. No, not so much, or you still have to be like, what are you trying to tell me, Casey?
Yeah.
But kind of on some of these dashboards, how complex do they get? Can you put modeling in it? Because, like, you know, I know you guys also have done a lot of PERS modeling. You've done a lot of different types of research. Do you put more into it than just combining data? Do you also try to take that off site and model some of that data and make prediction models for your system?
We can. So we've done some PERS exercises. We've done some marketing strategies that we've modeled, you know, using Python and then creating tables with that and then just making a graphic. Because if I sit here and tell everyone, you know, I did Python codes and then I did a simulation, they're not.
What does that mean?
Yeah, so you just need to make a visualization after all that process that maybe takes 1 month. Then all they get to see is a graph that tells them this is what's going to happen to your population of pigs. So I do dashboards that way, but they're not going to be something that's seen on the daily basis. So we do those exercises, we do those dashboards, but they are kept internally, and you know, we see them maybe once a quarter or once every year. But you have the option to use models, as well as if you have, you know, a model or an algorithm that you can put on your SQL code, and then that's what feeds your dashboard, then you can certainly have that model as well.
Through some of your work, do you have any win stories or anything to share between your team? Obviously, on LinkedIn, I was really excited to see how many people you have looking at your dashboards on a regular basis. But has there been any like business decision wins or changes to, you know, and a good example that you could share?
Yes. So last year we started building something that's called whether it be the SAO or Grow Finish KPI tracker. What we've done is combine the operational data and the financial data. And what we do is review those monthly. And what that has done is start to drive the conversation of where we need to make an impact. So for example, with the SAO production, we noticed that maybe we could reduce the feed usage, since that's, you know, such a big chunk of money that goes to feeding the SAOs. We said, well, if we actually track body condition score, if we track how much feed they're eating and we have the cost, then certainly we can start making decisions based on that data that's made available for us. And what that has caused is that every month, regional managers get together with their farm managers and they have to go through these KPIs. So it's not only a conversation that's had at the upper management level, but it's also something that gets talked about at the farms. And they need to be able to now work with the dashboard, see the dashboard, understand the numbers that they have. And so that for me has been a big win, because basically what I'm doing every month is conducting these continuous improvement meetings where we get together and we talk about all the KPIs.
Well, I find that really interesting, and you tied it to sow body condition, and I love that, because as a nutritionist, fighting to get A, body condition scores from the sow farm, but B, accurate body condition scores from the sow farm is a challenge. So do you see some, with these, you know, taking the top level management discussions on the continuous improvement, taking them to the farm, do you see more buy-in by the employees of wanting to monitor body condition because they see the results on their dashboards?
Yes, and that's the beauty of using dashboards, right? So what you do is you color code and everyone wants to see their numbers in green. Once you start seeing them in yellow, you start to worry. And if they're in red, then you know you need work to do. And so I think that's the beauty of it. I think it's some positive competition, but if you see that a farm in your region with the same genetics is doing better than you, that's going to push you to do better as well, because there's no difference between the two farms. And so I think that's what part of this has caused. You just make people be competitive against each other, but that's for a good cause, and that's just improving production.
And how, I mean, you said it takes a month, and I've worked through some dashboards with you, and it's taken a lot of time and a lot of different type of talents than just a data scientist. It takes a programmer. It takes working with PigChamp, working with, you know, two or three different companies, getting this data into a format that you want. How do you get buy-in from the management that it's worth all that time when all they see maybe is a half a page of reports? And you know what I mean? Because that's a tough pill to swallow as a service provider for me to other clients. Like, it takes a lot longer than you realize to do this. It's just not like I can snap my finger and make you an Excel PowerPoint graph. It's a little different than that.
I think that talks about a lot about how Hanner looks at data, because they didn't have this position that I'm in a year ago. So basically what they did was they realized that they needed someone that was going to look at data for them on the daily basis, and that was going to understand how the system works and where to get data and how to work with data. And then they created this position for someone like me. And I think if you start looking around, more companies are starting to do that. So they have a data engineer, they have a data architect, and then they have a BI person that's going to be doing their analytics. So I couldn't tell you this is the specific reason. But if you make your data available and you're looking at your numbers, that's the only way you're going to be able to improve. Otherwise, you're just taking guesses and hoping that they're good guesses. Or someone, you know, an operations manager is going to be spending just so much time crunching those numbers, and they may not even love to do that. They're more based on making decisions based on their experience, but they need someone that's going to crunch those numbers and justify that decision. And so whether it be you are taking a reactive perspective or a more proactive perspective, you still need that person that's going to crunch those numbers for you. And to understand that, you know, with the feed cost being higher, you need to be as precise as you can with that data and how you're making those calculations and how you're creating those models. And that takes time, especially in an industry like ours, where sometimes people are still collecting data in SAL cards and they're just staying in the SAL card and they never make it to the cloud or to an Excel file.
So do you still have a challenge, I guess, with data collection and getting the data in a format that's digestible?
Yes. Anything that is usually recorded in PigChamp is great. But if we want to deviate a little bit from it, then yes, we need to work, you know, with the farms and have them capture data in an Excel file, because that's the way I will be able to consume it. If they just write something on that piece of paper, then it doesn't make it to the data system.
Has your farms implemented any other digital data tools that are coming out on the market for management purposes?
Yeah, we use something that you were actually part of. So we use Easy Entry for data collection in research, but we also used it sometimes to import Excel files into the cloud. So that team built something that was easy for us to use. So we have been using that for our projects that require that, you know, a specific project, a specific tool. And so we use Easy Entry for that.
Cool. So no, nothing on the SAL farm management with the different kind of systems are out there on flows or that those type of applications.
No, we just use PigChamp for regular production tracking.
What is the next horizon or your dream? You're like your 5-year plan with your position, and where do you want to take data analytics and business intelligence for Hanover?
Well, I'd like to be able to use, you know, more models and algorithms to be able to predict things. So I was developing a little something that has 4 variables at the cell level. So we have abortions, stillborns, proven mortality, and cell mortality. And so trying to find that threshold to give you an alert when something's not working or when something looks a little funny. So if your abortions start going up, if you're able to pinpoint that that event and say maybe there's a disease starting at this farm, I think I would like to get to that point of sending alerts to the farms based on water consumption, feed consumption, if we were able to understand behavior, I think that would be another one, but that needs cameras, so I don't know if we are ready to do that, but at least tracking feed and water consumption, I think that's where I'd like to spend some of my time next.
Well, and you've also worked with some cameras and more on the innovation side of things, but where has that progressed in your system of wanting to bring more digital data into your hands?
I think that's something tricky, because I would like to have cameras, I'd like to have sensors, I would like to have everything, but then it comes to what you do with that information.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think for now, I've decided that I'm going to focus on the data that I have and get as much insights as I can from what I already have. But then if in the future we find the need for cameras or more sensors, or whether it be something else, then you start thinking how I'm going to utilize that data.
And I love the fact that you're sharing your successes and your learnings online. Can you kind of walk us through, you've done a lot with AWS trains and things, and kind of walk us through, like, a company who wants to come to the Hanover level, what do they need to do? Obviously, you said they need a data architect, they need a data, you know, data analyst. Do they need all that, or can they kind of outsource, or how does a company become where you are today?
I think I would say first you outsource. That at least that's what I would do, and I think that's what we've done. You outsource, you find someone that's going to help you create your little database in the cloud, because that's where you're going to start, unless you already have your system that has your data in the cloud. Then they would help you, you know, create those connections from whether it be APIs, or you're going to be pulling data from another cloud to your cloud. There's all those different connections that, to be honest, I'm not an expert. I just know that I need to get data from somewhere to my place. And so that's where I go and outsource people to help me do that. Once you do that, then you start creating your visualizations. And that, I think that's the important person for any company, to have someone that's going to be building those visualizations for you, but that's also going to understand your system. And I've said this before, you can bring any data analyst and they may create some dashboards for you, whether they understand what's feed conversion and average daily gain. I can't make promises on that, but I don't think they will. But so maybe the best way would be to train someone that has already a swine nutrition background, or that they at least animal science background, and that they are data driven, and you train them to, you know, go on this path.
Well, I think that's exactly what Hanor did with you throughout your graduate program, your internships, mm-hmm. It really developed you into that. And you found that you loved that more than maybe the pigs on a regular basis.
Yes. So I think I'm very data driven. I always say I love two things, and that's pigs and data. And if you ask me what my passion is just to use data so that we make more informed decisions. I see how in the next 10 years, being in any type of animal protein production is going to become harder and harder, because there's going to be more regulation, and the feed prices, I don't think they're going to be going any, they're not going to go down. I don't think that's going to happen. And so you're going to need to really understand how you're using your resources. And well, the only way to do that is tracking what you're using. Yeah.
What I found interesting since I've gone into this space, and I mean, I've always been a data person, but I've been an Excel, Jump, SAS type of person in the past, and I look at data differently than some people, but the tools are becoming easier for people to integrate and utilize data in their systems.
And I agree with you. So there's something, and I'm sure everyone has heard this term, but click and drag. So there's a lot of these tools that are just click and drag that are meant to help you create models, create your dashboards, create all these things where you don't really need to be that data savvy to be able to create a visualization or to be able to work with data. And just like you said, I've worked with Amazon, and what they will do is they want you as a client, they're going to work with you, and they're going to give you trainings, and they're going to give you the people that you need to be exposed to be able to be successful with your data program.
Oh, definitely. Great customer service and support there. I mean, I guess from your standpoint, if you're a student like you were a few years ago, and you're looking at getting a master's degree or PhD in animal science, animal nutrition, what are some other core classes or trainings that you would put into a graduate program today based on your experiences?
Well, I was very lucky that Dr. Cotter was open to my crazy suggestions when I was choosing my classes. And so he let me choose two courses from the business department that I think were key to me growing in this data role. So I chose one that was data visualization, and the other one was predictive analysis. So data visualization is basically how we end up using data, right? How we consume data, how we create these dashboards. Back then, that class was very Tableau oriented, and I still use Tableau to this day. It's used for more specific projects. And predictive analytics is basically what I'm trying to do for the future, which I've done some exercises already where you use data and try to predict the future. And it's nothing overly complicated because they teach you these click and drag tools where you start getting hands on these softwares and you're able to do really simple exercises that are going to help you predict something. And although that's not something you end up doing, I think how the world is changing with all these artificial intelligence, machine learning, you need to be able to understand those terms once you graduate from your program. If someone comes to you and tries to sell you an AI or machine learning software or whatever it is, you need to be able to understand that terminology at least, and understand what they're trying to sell to you.
Well, I think you're right. And I would say the KC 5 years ago, you could have probably said this software is going to solve the world for me. And I tried a lot of different software, either from formulation to statistics to you name it. I've tried different programs and it was never tailored for what I need. And I think, you know, that's my biggest thing as I talk to people about data is this, can you fit in their box? Will their box provide you what you need? Or do you still have to integrate that data to accomplish what you need? And I think that's the future, is we'll see more of that, I think, of custom data analytics and drivers, because, you know, maybe feed cost where you're located is a key driver. But maybe somebody, the producer I work with that grows their own corn and soybeans, maybe that's not as much of a key driver as, you know, labor or fuel cost or something. And I'm just using that as an example to where our traditional reports, and why I wanted to go down this path was because it all presented the same. And then we benchmark off each other. And, you know, if you're not doing 32 PSY, you're not a good producer. And I've always argued that, you know, a 28 PSY producer can be a far more effective or more profitable producer than that 32 PSY. And just trying to change that language of, you know, what's the end of the day my goal? What do I want to be best at? And ultimately, it's who wants to be sustainable. And sustainable is not just about using less carbon input, but it's also about, you know, creating profitability that you can withstand today's market conditions, for instance. So, well, I really appreciate you bringing in some fun insights into the world of business intelligence at Hanover. But before we go, I'm going to turn the table and let you ask me a question.
Now a word from the Sunswine Group. The Sunswine Group was founded in 2020 by Dr. Casey Bradley and developed a service-based company to fill in the gaps for agribusinesses, swine and poultry producers, and individuals alike. Our core business focuses on research and development, technical writing, and data analytics. However, this is all a catalyst for Dr. Bradley's passion to faithfully serve through Science Plus Heart. This includes her mentoring programs such as Coffee and Careers in Animal Science and this podcast, The Real P3, and also her training and professional development programs that are now coming under the SunGrow brand. We hope to continue to grow through you, so contact us today at thesunswinegroup.com or on our social media channels, and let's sow the seeds of prosperity together.
And now back to our episode.
My question would be, throughout, you know, your experience working with us, and I know you have all these years of experience in nutrition, what has data provided you? How do you think you can, what lessons have you learned with data, and how is data helping now your decision making?
Well, obviously, I've always looked at data differently than most. And I would say, you know, data and trends and having multiple sources of data has kind of changed where, you know, traditionally when I started my career, let's say 20 years ago, we looked at the closeout data. What's the FCR on that? What's the average daily gain? And then, you know, what was our profit loss or our weights, right? And if we didn't hit that window of our target cut window for the optimal price, you know, we were yelling, or you're not sorting right and you're not picking the right pigs, or dang it, Casey, our pigs are too day, you know, they're too light on day, you know, 110 or whatever your cut date is. And those are the conversations I had. And now, you know, working as a nutritionist and talking to different producers, you know, I work with a lot of different producers to where bigger is not always better, from a carcass standpoint, for one thing. And so having more access to different data has allowed me to say, okay, not necessarily least cost or that ideal weight at that ideal time, but how can we, you know, alter our marketing strategies, as you talked about, or our management strategies. So we're working through, it's not on the swine side, but a poultry producer, we're working through that with them for next year. Do they need to slaughter earlier? Do they need to cut those days back? Do they need to make that seasonal, right? Instead of raising their bird to 56 days, maybe during the spring they're going to do 54, or, you know, and maybe it's a little longer in the summer. So if I didn't have all that data access to it, like, and I was just looking at the carcass weight, or I was looking at the feed efficiency, I wouldn't be successful as a nutritionist. So since I'm targeting a certain carcass weight with a certain day of age, I've had to really ultimately change my nutrition formula. I'm not just looking at average daily gain and feed efficiency anymore. And I'm tailoring my nutritional programs for my customers to what they need and what their market and what their customer wants. And that looks different for everybody. So I can't go to school and it be a cookie cutter saying I'm feeding PIC pigs and they need a 1.1 SID lysine at this weight range. And I don't do that anymore from a nutrition standpoint. So it's really changed how I do that. And that's also, and I think from a nutrient management perspective, I put a little more overage in stuff. Mm-hmm. I don't formulate on averages anymore. I really look at that standard deviation in my feeding gradients and say, worst case scenario, do I have my minimum covered? And then I know, and that's probably not the best thing, but yet, you know, it's also balancing that risk with my customers to say, mm-hmm. you know, and talking through that. And so I have to have that data. If I wasn't looking at QA on my feed ingredients, I wasn't looking at carcass reports or downers or different things, I couldn't make those changes as a nutritionist. Where in school I was taught feed efficiency and average daily gain was the main thing, right? That was the golden ticket. And now I make, I'm not just that type of nutritionist. I'm making changes to what my customer's customer needs. And that looks different for everyone that I've worked with, and including Hanor. So mm-hmm. that has kind of been what's been the transition with data with me, and from the traditional closeout report into what I do today.
Yeah. Do you think the industry will start utilizing artificial intelligence for something in the near future?
I sure hope so. And I can use the example that I have started to use ChatGPT. And I've seen a cool program. I'm not going to name the company, and hopefully the pork industry funds this project. But I think it's a tool that we should start using. I don't think you're going, and everybody's like, oh, I'm so scared, because they don't understand the words. And I think it's the same with data visualization, APIs. Like, I didn't know what an API was for a while. I'm like, what's an API? And you know, data models in SQL versus Azure and Amazon versus, you know, Microsoft. There's still a lot of people that are getting caught up in those terms. And oh, I've always used Microsoft, or I've always used Google, or I've always, you know what I mean? I think there's still that. So, you know, I think artificial intelligence is the next step, and we have to go that route. And there's a few companies like that are leading the way in that area, maybe. But I just, the mindset of our industry, just, I think it's going to be taking a lot of stuff from somebody like you to say, hey, I did all this magic, it took me 6 months, but here's the result, and they love it. But what they don't see is all those back and forth late nights, phone calls, those things when they break, or
So I don't know. It's going to be a mindset. I really hope so, because like I said, I've used ChatGPT and it's helped make me better. I don't always follow its direction, but seeing what the possibilities are with AI just on education, or you know, even learning about the Khan program for my son, mm-hmm. and listening to the Khan Academy and what he's done, and then taking my son into that program with AI from an education standpoint, I really see AI as a way to educate and train our employees better, for one thing. That is, like, to me, like an easy win that I think we can get our industry behind, is using some of that to train and teach our employees better.
But also train the rest of the population, right? Because what people maybe don't know is that these models, so what ChatGPT tells you, is basically going into this infinite data source and is pulling the best answer for you for your question. And so our role as people that work in pork production or anything related to agriculture is that when we interact with these tools, we also get to give feedback if something's not mm-hmm. correct. And so that's our role also, if we're going to start interacting with these tools, to make sure that the information that's then going to be put out there for the world to see is accurate when they're using these technologies. So I like to sometimes just ask weird questions to ChatGPT and see what it tells me.
Oh, me too. And I'm like, oh wow. No, you're totally off on that. I'm sorry. And no, we don't call that word. And you know, and I've used Grammarly a lot on, you know, checking my work and my edits mm-hmm. and stuff. And I'm like, no, it is really feed. It is not food. It is feed. It is just, you know, it's fighting some of that. But like you said, I think it's scary, but we have a responsibility, right? It's only going to be as good as we teach it to be. But it's also only going to be as good as the data we put out there for it to pull from. Mm-hmm. So we still need people to publish their work. We need still independent thought. We can't have ChatGPT write all of our opinions. Yeah. We still need to produce data that evolves that opinion. Mm-hmm. And I think, you know, I see a trend, at least from a marketing or social media perspective today, that everybody's using ChatGPT to produce their post or their newsletters. And mm-hmm. and I've experimented on purpose with people and they didn't realize it, probably, for me. Because I wanted to see, right? I wanted to reactions and look at the trends and the data based on Casey versus a computer. Mm-hmm. And I'm telling you, it is scary, and it will be our responsibility. And I still think it's going to take smart people like you behind the scenes to make sure it's giving us the right answers that we need.
Yeah. I like this saying that they say artificial intelligence is not going to take your job. Someone that understands how to use it will.
Yeah.
So, because a lot of people get freaked out. They say artificial intelligence is going to take over. Well, I don't think it's going to take over anyone's jobs. It's just going to simplify some other things that, you know, you have to do that are time consuming, but necessarily don't require that much technical knowledge. Whereas, yeah. Being able to take decisions using artificial intelligence, I think it's key for the next, I don't know, maybe in 10 years or 15, but eventually
Something. I think the jobs will change, but you still need certain jobs that will never go away. Mm-hmm. But as you know, working with Dr. Rosero, and now he's at Iowa State, but you know, and the projects I've worked on with the cameras, right, and weighing pigs. From a person who's weighed pigs a lot in her life, if you could take that out of my job description, I would be completely happy, because there's a lot more things I can do with my time than weigh pigs. Mm-hmm. And so that, I always use that as a good example. That is a job, please take away from me today.
Yeah.
You know, and we're still not there. So I think that's always also goes back to our, I call it the fast food mentality. We all want something and we want it now and we want it perfect and we want it functioning, but it's several generations mm-hmm. in the that takes to get something perfected to where everybody likes it.
Yeah, and I don't think it ever gets to be perfect. It's just at least a big percent of people like it enough.
Yeah. So, well, this has been great to catch up with you. I'm curious to see more coming out. Are you going to be presenting anything here this next year?
I don't know yet. We'll see.
Okay. Well, I know you presented on, you know, data and the future at ASV last year, and Dr. Rosario has done some stuff here on the machine learning and the camera systems you guys have implemented. Mm-hmm. If somebody wanted to reach out to you and learn from you, how do they get a hold of you?
The easiest way would be LinkedIn. I'm there every day. So if they want to talk to me, just shoot a message using my LinkedIn. Otherwise, my email, if I can give that out, it's xpazpratal@hanoiusa.com. But honestly, LinkedIn is the easiest, fastest way.
Well, thank you so much. It was a pleasure to have you again on the Roll P3.
Thank you, Casey.
Well, I hope you enjoyed the interview with Hamana. We threw in a little extra around artificial intelligence, but you have some insights into what the leaders are doing in the swine industry and how the SunSwine Group works with them. But before we go, if you get a chance today, hug a pig for me.